We're back with the Dopey Millennial Show.
Good, bad. It's going to be like a drama every week. It's going to be awesome.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It is the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you on this Saturday evening. We're about an hour away from Atlanta United 2 pregame. That's going to have Madison Cruz and John Nelson. I think it's going to be Jason Longshore on the call for that match coming up at 8 o'clock. Atlanta United, big boy Atlanta United, they play tomorrow against Santos Lagunas. That's of Liga MX, the Mexican club, or excuse me, league. That has been a part of this whole League's Cup. It's Liga MX versus MLS. Now, of course, if you remember, Atlanta United lost their first match against DC United in penalty kicks. That was just such a frustrating way to finish that one out, but a really good comeback just to get to that point, quite honestly. So, with Atlanta United taking on Santos tomorrow, they have to win in regulation or in a shootout to advance, and then if Atlanta wins, they'll face Cincinnati or NYCFC. And there's a ton of Atlanta United fans rooting for Atlanta to beat Santos and for NYCFC to beat Cincinnati, because then that would mean Atlanta United would be taking on NYCFC at Bobby Dodd Stadium, something that they obviously haven't done since the first year of the club. Pre-match coverage tomorrow for Atlanta United and Santos starts at 3. Now, I want to get into a check the tape segment where we listen to some audio from coaches, players, whatever is going on, some interesting storylines that I found. A lot of the times keep this pretty local, and most of this will be local, but found something else in the city of Chicago that I want to talk about. Just when it comes to quarterback play and leadership and all those sorts of things. But I want to start with Kirby Smart, because the Georgia Bulldogs camp got underway this week, and it did not include one wide receiver that I said last week when Ra-Ra Thomas went on the he was, you know, suspended indefinitely. It was like, ain't good enough. You got to cut him. He's got to go. Like a second arrest, and specifically, if you saw what the arrest this time was for regarding a felony charge of harming a child and then some other misdemeanor counts, something related to domestic, fighting, that sort of thing. Yeah, you got to have a standard, especially when you've had a summer like this one, where guys are just getting arrested left and right, and especially a bunch of like car-related things after what happened last year. So with all of those sorts of things, like I said this last week, you had to send a message to your team that you're not going to put up with this stuff, and you're not just going to hold on to guys because they have talent. Because yes, Ra-Ra Thomas would have been one of your best pass catchers this season, if not the best. However, it's interesting to hear Kirby Smart talk about this week the fact that they've got a deep group of pass catchers this season.
Well, we've got a lot of guys that are pass catchers back. We've got a lot of guys that have played with Dylan Bell, Arian, Colby for another team has played. Dom's been very successful and got a lot of catches. So, you know, we have depth at the top. I think we've got to find more guys that can contribute in that room. Maybe they haven't had their opportunity. Maybe they're talented and pick things up quickly. You know, we have several guys that came in from the portal with Mike Jackson and London.
Yeah, so I think that's a part of this that I think people have questions about when it comes to pass catchers this season for the Georgia Bulldogs, especially with Ra-Ra Thomas not being a part of this any longer. That was a move you had to make, because even without, a lot of the times we're like, hey, let the legal system kind of play its way out. That would be fine if we're doing first offense. But this is second offense for Ra Ra Thomas since he's been at Georgia. And his first one was literally right after he got here, being arrested for a similar thing where apparently he was preventing someone he was with. I don't know if, you know, girlfriend or whatever, from leaving the dorm room that they were in. And so, you know, all those sorts of things, just not a good look. Got to set a message. Kirby took care of that. And so now when it comes to the pass catchers, I do think that this team is going to be perfectly fine as far as options for Carson Beck. As Kirby mentioned, Dylan Bell, Arian Smith, Dominic Lovett, guys that are returning, going to the transfer portal and getting a guy like Michael Jackson III from USC, London Humphreys from Vanderbilt. There is a total of 20 wide receivers on the Georgia Bulldogs. And I know when they have these, you know, rosters of 120 that these sorts of things happen. But it was just like, I was going down the list yesterday and like, man, there are really so many wide receivers on this team. And that's without including the guys at tight end, Oscar Delp and Lawson Lucky, who have shown themselves to be more than worthy guys. Like, okay, sure, maybe you're not Brock Bowers, but I think as far as pass catchers, the Georgia Bulldogs are going to be just fine this season as they take on a, you know, a much more difficult schedule this year that's got Alabama and Texas on it than compared to what they've seen last year. But I think with another year under Carson's belt, like with him just being that much more experienced, it's not like they are lacking in the wide receiver or the pass catcher department. It's just unproven, quite frankly. Guys who have not been in the role that they will be in this season. All right, changing it up in Check the Tape, where we listen to some audio from different things going on in the week. Look, I heard an interview this week, or a piece of an interview, that Kevin Byard of the Chicago Bears did with our sister, or not our sister station, but our under the same company station. I don't know why I was blanking on what to call them, but 670 The Score up in Chicago, they're an Odyssey station, so I was trying to throw them some love.
I believe the correct term is affiliate.
Affiliate. Thank you, Dom. Thank you for helping me as I was looking like an idiot. I was like, as soon as I said sister station, I was like, nah, that ain't it, because it's because on Sports Flashes, I'm usually like, oh, listen in to Atlanta United on our sister station, Star 94 or WAOK something like that. But yes, our affiliate, as producer Dom thankfully corrected me, 670 The Score, had an interview with Kevin Byard as he was talking about the leadership that Caleb Williams has shown through camp. Let's listen real quick to this.
And Caleb wanted to jump into the middle to break it down. And usually, like, you know, as a rookie, he's like, oh, what does this guy got to say?
Right.
First thing he says, like, hey, man, we're all grown men here, right? You know, as we're going through training camp, we all use the hot tub, we all use the cold tub, we all use the bathroom and all the areas. He was like, hey, man, like, we're getting a little too sloppy. You know what I'm saying? We're leaving water bottles and towels and all type of things around, man. Like, these custodians have a lot of square footage they have to cover around this whole building. Let's try to help them out by cleaning up after ourselves. And it's just like little things like that just makes the guy special.
So, yeah, that's Kevin Byard talking about quarterback Caleb Williams, of course, the number one overall pick, who's playing with the Chicago Bears. That's one of those things that I heard that, and my immediate thought was, okay, that's a leader. Because first off, a guy who is brand new walking into a room or a huddle full of guys who have far more experience in the league than he does, and being comfortable enough with yourself to say, hey guys, we need to set a standard here. Because guess what hasn't happened at the quarterback position for the Chicago Bears in decades at this point? There hasn't been a standard. I don't know, like, as much as I was intrigued by Justin Fields, and I was definitely a guy at one point that was interested in him coming to the Atlanta Falcons, I just don't know that he necessarily separated himself in that way as a leader right off the bat, willing to step in and speak out and want to change the culture in a positive way around his team. Seeing that from Caleb Williams is like, okay, before we even get to the on-the-field stuff, that is something that changes the mindset of people and just, like I said, changes the culture in a positive way, something that literally every head coach in the NFL, when they come into a new job, Raheem Morris, for sure, a part of this is, you know, trying to introduce a positive culture, one that Caleb Williams here is trying to, you know, get some ownership for individuals. Now, I played you that because the conversation that I wanted to have is like, man, that shows some really good leadership. And I think there's another element that we could discuss for this as well. And certainly there is no one in the world who could have a problem with a rookie quarterback coming in the locker room and saying, hey, guys, we need to pick up after ourselves, showing that leadership. But no, Amani Toomer. Yes, that Amani Toomer, the former Giants wide receiver from back in the day, who has since easily been forgotten, but stumbled his way, I guess, somehow to the Craig Carton show. Amani Toomer has a problem with Caleb Williams' leadership. Take a listen to this.
If you came in the locker room, I've been in this locker room for 8 years, like you said, and you know, some rookie's going to come in who hasn't played one snap.
Right.
Talking, you know, we're wearing the fingernail polish. You know, now he's going to come in here and tell me, who've been here, who've been through the struggle, that I need to clean up? No, how about rookie? How about you clean up after me?
Right.
How about
literally one of the worst sports takes I've heard this year. Amani Toomer is saying that the Bears veterans should be upset with Caleb Williams and tell him, no, you clean up after me. Like, in what world is what Caleb did a bad idea? He was expressing leadership in just picking up after yourself for the care of the support staff and the cleaning staff that works at the practice facility. Like, this is just Caleb Williams showing, hey, we all should be better humans. Because, like, it's one of those, it's as simple as you go to, and maybe all of this comes back to, I worked as a custodian for a point in my life through high school and college. And so I've seen the way that people treat public restrooms. Mine was specifically at a church where you would think that surely church people are going to treat,
yeah,
you know, the
house of the Lord.
Yeah, you would think. However, the number of times that people made an absolute mess, and it's just something as simple as you go to throw a piece of trash away, it hits the rim of the trash can and it falls out. Do you lean over and pick it back up, or do you keep walking? You know, what Caleb was talking about when it came to the cold tubs and stuff, is guys sitting in the cold tubs, taking off their tape and throwing it out. Like, could you not ball that up if you want to throw it out, but when you get out of the cold tub, just pick it up, throw it in the trash can? Because you got a cleaning staff who is doing a lot more than just that specific thing to pick up after you. Like, they're picking up and cleaning a lot of things. And so if you can help in that one area, it really does help. So, Dom, am I crazy here that, like, this is an insane take from Amani Toomer?
Yeah, no. Amani's absolutely incorrect here. He's way off. But also, like, again, because it goes back to a point of setting the standard. Because, like, you say that to Caleb Williams, but then if he comes back and says that exact mindset is the reason why you all had two top 10 picks in this past
Thank
year.
Thank you! Draft. Like, the reason I'm
here... I'm
here
is because you all have won a total of, like, four games for our average four wins a season for the past 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. And it's like you're trying to establish something new. And the fact, like, it's just the fact that, like, taking this as arrogance instead of leadership blew my mind, because this is something that I wonder about when it comes to Michael Penix Jr. is, like, Penix is going to miss out on these little things, these elements of growing together, showing early leadership. And look, it is no fault of his own, but when you've got Kirk Cousins in the locker room, like, he is the leader. That is the guy that everyone is going to turn to. So then, by default, you end up being more quiet, more out of the way, more, you know, just not a leader on this team. Whereas, I mean, I would not be surprised at all if Caleb Williams end up with becoming a captain on this team. I don't think that's crazy at all to believe because, A, he's number one overall pick, new quarterback coming on. This is his team for the future. And so you plan around all of those things. I think it's incredible leadership to see. And like I said, with Michael Penix Jr., something that, you know, it's going to be interesting to see as Kirk Cousins fills that void now and then they expect Michael Penix Jr. to step in later. I don't know how big of a leader Jordan Love is with the Green Bay Packers. Certainly something to wonder about as, you know, he was a guy who sat behind a big-time leader in Aaron Rodgers. Just an interesting conversation, and I had to play that one from Amani Toomer because I could not believe anyone would dislike that, but you're always going to find detractors somewhere. When we get back, what is our standard when it comes to Olympic greatness and our standard moving forward with the Atlanta Falcons? I think there's some similarities there. We'll be back in about 4 minutes on the Dopey Millennial Show, Sports Radio 99 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Getting your weekend sports talk fix here with the Dopey Millennial Show.
My ears are bleeding.
From Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game and the Odyssey app. It is the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you for a couple more segments before we turn things over to Atlanta United 2 versus New England. Now, in the Kia Studios, I have just one of the best things in front of me right now. Very small thing. Doesn't mean a big deal to plenty of people, but for a lot of you out there, it is a big deal. The fact that in the Kia Studios, I can look up and see the Atlanta Braves playing baseball. That is because, yes, just a few days ago, finally, an agreement was reached with Bally and with Comcast because since that all happened back in, May, I think it was. We have not had in the Kia Studios the ability to turn on the Braves game. Now, me personally, I have acquired ways in which I had been able to watch games may or may not have been necessarily legal because I refused to pay for a new cable subscription and all that sort of stuff. But I'm really glad they got all that stuff figured out and Grant Holmes on the mound tonight for the Braves hopefully can go for a fifth straight win for the Atlanta Braves. However, with the idea of expectations coming for the Braves, especially as they've started to play well, it is Olympic season, and I figured out over the course of this week that I have much higher standards for the United States in the Olympics than I realized. Because I've always been a person who is like, and I even talked about this earlier, we did some crosstalk with Chris Thomas about I enjoy tuning in to the Olympics. Now, I'm not Abe Gordon watching every single event live as it happens. I mean, the whole Peacock presentation and what they've done of Gold Zone and having the multi-view so you can watch multiple things as it's going on. Just the ease of all of that versus the days of tune in at 7 o'clock on NBC and get a recap of everything that's happened over the course of the day and all that sort of stuff. Like, it just it hits different now, and it's so much more functional, and I can turn it on as I'm working throughout the day and just keep up with it, as I'm sure many of you are doing. However, something is in the realm of possibility that hasn't happened since 1900, which would be the fact that if Bobby Fink this weekend does not win the 1500-meter freestyle, as in does not win gold, it would be the first time that the U.S. has gone without an individual Olympic swimming gold medal for the first time since 1900. Over 100 years, we've at least won a gold medal in men's swimming, and we're headed towards territory of, unless Bobby Fink wins in the 1500-meter freestyle, that not happening. And it's kind of brought me into other, like, events that I watch, whereas, like, if the U.S. isn't going for gold, I have found that I don't care as much. Like, I really do have the standard of it's gold or bust. Maybe that's, like, the arrogance of being an American and, like, wanting to be the best. And, you know, we always do the thing that we, you know, we are the best. We live in the greatest country, you know, even though there's plenty of metrics that might tell us that's not exactly the truth. But, you know, anyways, not getting into any sort of non-sports related conversation. Just pointing out the fact that, like, when it comes to the Olympics, I expect us to be winning. And so whether it's, like, Simone Biles and Katie Ledecky holding down the fort, because what they've been able to do over the course of these Olympics have been incredible. Whether it is Katie Ledecky finishing a race 17 seconds before second place. Like, I know most of you out there, if you care at all about the Olympics, you have caught that took place, and you're like, man, that's crazy. I just don't quite think you understand how long 17 seconds is, unless, for instance, in this medium, if I went silent for 17 seconds, I believe everyone listening to the station would change the station, because you'd be like, what? That's weird. What's going on? Huh? What happened? Like, I know over, I believe it's at CNN that they aim for, over the course of a year, they want less than, I think, 2 seconds of dead air on their station. Because they'll have, like, milliseconds of missed things here and there that kind of add up over time. But, like, 17 seconds is an insane amount of time to finish before your opponent. And that is, like, we champion Katie Ledecky because she is dominant. She takes down her opponents at such a dominant rate. And as well as, like, not dominant in everything. Like, I think she still, you know, what was it? Was it the 700 meter? Honestly, I can't even keep up with all the races that they do. But there was something that she got silver in. But it was a shorter race, and that's not really her thing. Like, hers is more of the longevity, the endurance, all of that sort of thing. However, when I'm watching these events, I'm enjoying fencing. I'm enjoying table tennis. I'm enjoying surfing for a little bit here or there. But I'm not getting that invested because if we're not involved and going for gold, then I feel like I am wasting my time a bit. It's a little bit different when it comes to things that we have never been competitive in and we are just now catching up to, like rugby, for instance. The U.S. women's rugby team claimed bronze this year. It's the first time they've ever medaled in the history of Olympic rugby. That's something to champion because it was like, all right, cool. We weren't good at that. We got good at it. Now we're competing, but the expectations are going to continue to rise with that. However, like swimming, where we have dominated in the past, and now track and field, where I'm looking at Noah Lyles on some, all right, sir, time to back up that fastest man alive talk. Your first trial did not go so well, came in second. He's done a lot of talking, a lot of talking. I mean, he has been a true American in the fact of calling out other people as, I get to call myself a world champion. You NBA guys over there don't get to call yourselves world champions because you only play in the U.S. and I go all over the world. All that sort of, it's like, all right, I don't agree with you. Talk your talk, though, as well as long as you can back it up. And to see his initial run not go was planned. Sha'Carri Richardson getting the silver today was kind of like, my expectations, man, are set for gold. And I feel like that is with a lot of us, and maybe that is why the interest in the Olympics for a lot of people who are like just fans of sport doesn't translate, because yes, like these are regular people, and that is kind of the appeal that I get. Is this is a different level of sport to follow, something separate where the storylines carry as much weight as the actual events themselves. And that is what that's what gains your casuals, your everyday Americans who tune in for the Olympics who don't typically watch sports. But when it comes to the U.S. competing, like, I want gold. And right now, it has been women's gymnastics. It has been Simone Biles. It's been Katie Ledecky carrying that, as I think right now the U.S. is technically, they're behind a little bit, China in gold medals, but lead, I think it's Canada that's in second right now in overall medals by like 20. However, for a lot of us, you're paying attention to that gold medal category more than you are total medals, because we want to be the best. We have those expectations. And that was one of the things that I thought about last night, as fans got to see the Atlanta Falcons out at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, is it's interesting how expectations have just slowly increased over the course of these training camp weeks, as we've gone from, all right, we spent a lot of money on Kirk Cousins, however, we know he's coming off the Achilles injury, and so we're not entirely sure what to expect from him. So maybe, we'll have to garner expectations as things grow. And then out the gate, he's talking about the fact that he's not 100%, but he is showing performance-wise things we have not seen in this city for seasons since Matt Ryan left. And honestly, the way that Kirk has come out has been better than final couple of seasons of Matt Ryan. Obviously, Matt was just a little, age pretty similar, but I feel like Matt aged a little bit more, specifically with his arm, than maybe Kirk has. Obviously, Kirk's dealing with the foot, healing, the Achilles, all that sort of stuff. But the fact that he came out this week and has been doing some running around, hasn't been thinking about the leg, like, it hasn't been a whole, well, I don't want to take off here because I want to be careful. And instead, he's doing more like, oh, I took off and I heard coach yelling, like, blow the whistle, call the play dead, because they don't want him to injure himself. The fact that he would probably absolutely play in preseason, but that they want to be careful about things because this is a big investment. But expectations for our Olympic athletes, it feels like, is gold or bust. And for the Falcons, I'm very curious to see how the conversation shifts with so much positive talk happening out of Falcons camp, with what people are seeing from Kirk Cousins, with the fact that excuses are starting to be cut left and right. And a big excuse of, what is Kyle Pitts going to look like? All of a sudden, everything we're seeing from Kyle Pitts so far through camp has been really positive. What's Drake London going to be like? Everything we're seeing through camp, really positive signs for Drake. Everything on the offensive side of the ball, really, really positive signs. And now, as the Falcons get ready to take on the Miami Dolphins in camp this week, in those joint practices, expectations are going to be sky high, because this is going to be, how can you handle a Dolphins team that has some crazy fast pass catchers and has a really strong secondary? How is all of that handled? Those questions we will get answered this coming week, as we've got joint practices and then first preseason game for the Atlanta Falcons. All right, when we get back on the Dopey Millennial Show, what would you be willing to do to win a gold medal at the Olympics? Would you cut your finger off? Because one guy did that. I'll tell you about it next in about 5 minutes on News You Can Lose, right here on the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson with you on Sports Radio 99 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Back to the latest weekend sports talk with the Dopey Millennial Show.
Dump the old ish, upgrade to the new.
From Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game and the Odyssey app. It is the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you for one final segment. Look, I teased this a little bit beforehand, but what would you be willing to do to win a gold medal or just compete at the Olympics at all? Would you be willing to cut your finger off? Let's get into it with News You Can Lose.
Taking a look at non-sports related news with News You Can Lose on the Dopey Millennial Show.
Would you be willing to cut off your finger? Because when I saw this story, I was stunned at Australian field hockey player Matt Dawson. He's a guy who, leading up to this year's Olympics, injured his finger, I'm looking at ring finger on his right hand. So, I mean, I feel like all of your fingers are important fingers, but still, I write with my right hand. And so anything that I do with my right hand, I want all of those fingers. Well, leading up to the Olympics, Australian field hockey player Matt Dawson injured his right hand ring finger and was told, hey, we're sorry, but because of this injury, because it's not going to heal in time, you're not going to be able to compete in the Olympics for the Australian field hockey team. To which Matt Dawson said, cut it off. Matt Dawson, Australian field hockey player, cut off the top from the knuckle up off of his ring finger to be able to compete in the Olympics this year. And now, you know, the thing that just hit me that I didn't do before this, because I'm pretty sure I know the answer. I don't think that Australia is still in field hockey. Like, I don't think they made it out. So, would you cut your finger off to compete at the Olympics to then not medal?
See, that's the thing. If it's just for the chance to compete, probably not. But if it's like, I know if I do compete, I'm going to win a gold medal. Depends on which finger, but maybe.
Really?
Sure.
I am not willing to lose a finger. Like,
you can take my left pinky. I don't need this.
So you're just like not gonna type anymore?
I mean, I got three other fingers and a thumb on that hand. I can make it work.
For a gold medal.
For gold. Do you know like how crazy it is to say that you have an Olympic gold, just to call yourself an Olympian, but also to say like an Olympic gold medalist is a super crazy honor. And it's just dope as hell, in all honesty.
Crazy, crazy honor for sure. Something that I would trade a finger for? Absolutely
not. I bled
for
my country. Life and limb.
See, if that then leads to, if you can guarantee me when I come home that I'm going to have like a good paying job,
I mean,
and opportunities.
You're probably going to get good endorsements, though.
Long enough to like sustain you in life, because now would you then be able to apply for disability?
That's a good question.
That's a great question because actually, then that's one of those of like, okay, so you lost the finger, got to compete at the Olympics. In your case, if you're saying you'd be willing to do it in order to win a gold medal, your story is going to lead to you getting sponsorship deals and then potentially you would qualify for disability. Now I'm starting to listen a little bit more.
See, it's not that crazy.
I still think it's a no, especially because in this guy's case, in Matt Dawson of the Australian field hockey, as far as I can tell, and like I said, I should have looked this up just to guarantee it, but from what a quick Google search put in front of me, I do not see the Australian field hockey team still competing, and so I believe that means that they did not medal, which that would not at all be worth it.
Yeah, that's
but
not
just
worth it.
I think it's just crazy, just the thought of like, hey, you need to heal because the injury happened to him while playing field hockey. So the fact that you would go from, okay, this injury happened while playing, I'm not going to be able to compete at the Olympics, how sad, to cut it off. Just cut my finger off. I can't imagine the thought process, and maybe there just wasn't much of one. Maybe this was a very spur-of-the-moment thing.
Yeah.
Because I feel like later on in life, you're going to want that top half of your ring finger.
And also, like to his point, like you don't know if you'll ever, like, Olympics only happen every 4 years. You don't know what'll happen, and you may not ever make it to the Olympics again.
Yeah, but you're also, like I said, you're going to want to come home and work a job that you would probably like that part of your finger. Who knows? Who's to say? All right, that for the first story and news you can lose. Look, nothing is dumb. You missed the greatest news you can lose story last week. That was around... the special teams coach for the Texas Longhorns married a stripper whose name is Pole Assassin, who owns a monkey that attacked some kids at Halloween a couple years ago. It was wild, man. It was like, that was peak news you could lose story. It was incredible. I'll tell you more about it later,
yes,
after
please.
The show. But this one up there in level of craziness. Did you hear about former Bama and Texas wide receiver Aggie Hall? He was arrested, or actually, we found out what the results of his arrest were. This happened back in, I believe it was December of 2023. But we learned recently after Aggie Hall, a guy who, like I said, played for Bama, was kicked off the team after getting arrested, went to Texas, and I'm not sure what led to him leaving Texas, but something happened, and maybe it was this whole thing, was going to UCF, was going to be a Golden Knight this year. And then all of a sudden, reports came out this past week that because of legal issues, they've distanced themselves from Aggie Hall. Well, it's because in December of 2023, a canine unit found 40 pounds of marijuana in Aggie Hall's luggage as he was trying to fly from California to Florida. This man was in Cali, purchased 40 pounds of marijuana, which, like, I have to wonder how long that would last him. I have to imagine quite some time.
Yes.
Quite some time. And, you know, obviously with that amount, you don't just get arrested for, hey, little possession.
Oh, yeah. That's
this is drug trafficking.
Yeah, and probably intent to sell and all
yes.
that other stuff. Yes.
All
yes.
of those sorts of things. So here's from the Orlando Sentinel news article. Aggie Hall, 21, had flown into Orlando from San Francisco in July of 2023 when a canine unit found 40 pounds of marijuana and 31 vacuum-sealed bags in his luggage. He was arrested in December and sentenced to probation as part of a plea deal. Here's the craziest part of this all. This man was trafficking drugs. First off, the fact that it left California in the first place kind of surprised me. Well, no, I've never even thought about this, Dom, but in a state where it's legal, can you fly from like Los Angeles to San Francisco with it in your bag because it's
No, I don't think so.
I can't imagine you can.
Yeah, no. Especially not that much.
How it left, like how it got through security to leave California, but then to be found in Orlando. Yeah, Hall initially pleaded not guilty, which I guess you just like do automatically. Because you're for sure guilty if they find 40 pounds of weed in your luggage. Before pleading no contest to one count of trafficking, as part of the plea agreement, he was sentenced to 18 months probation, required to pay a $774 fine. He was sentenced as a youthful offender and must attend counseling at least once every other week. And continue his education at UCF or any college that accepts him. That's going to be a very interesting part, as it doesn't seem like he has a scholarship anymore. But letting this guy off for...
I was going to say, that's very light.
18 months probation, $774 fine for flying with 40 pounds.
40 pounds of weed.
Of weed in your luggage.
That's a lot.
Like, when I saw this story, I don't mean to judge this man because I don't know him, but my first thought was, how stupid are you? Because in what world did you think
you
this was going to work?
Yeah, got to FedEx that kind of stuff, man.
Sure. I don't know how that works. I don't know of anyone who's ever... maybe taking a bottle of vitamins and put other things in them when they were flying from Denver to Atlanta. I have no idea about anything like that. That's just one of those trying not to incriminate anyone I know
smarter. Just got to be smarter.
Yeah.
We'll leave it there.
Of those, like, when I saw this storyline, I was like, this definitely is going in News You Can Lose, just because how did you really think that you were going to get away with this? This really speaks to your mental faculties and, like, is everything going on up there? Because in the article, it pointed out the fact that, like, this is someone who has talked about dealing with an immense amount of stress. And so, you know, this is an outlet for him. And I understand for the people who participate in these sorts of things, I understand the reasons in which they participate. But there's also just, like, common sense of laws. And, like, hey, if you're flying from a state where it's legal to a state where it's not legal, maybe drive it if you're going to do it and not fly. And if you're going to fly, maybe like not an incriminating amount like that would get you caught for drug trafficking. Like there's so many different levels to this
How stressful is your life?
Right? Where you need 40 pounds? Nah, it ain't 40 pounds stressful. Trust me.
As a college kid who's playing football and stuff, you have a scholarship to play football. Like, your life is pretty kosher, man.
Yeah.
You're having a good time.
NIL exists. It ain't like you got to be out here,
right,
you know, selling dime bags. Like, it's just, like, it ain't. Because there's no way this man had 40 pounds and was planning
just
to.
For himself.
Just for himself.
Just,
ain't no way. I would like to know how much money that cost. Like, I have to imagine. In California, 40 pounds of marijuana can't be cheap. There is no way. So, like, there's definitely a group of people who pulled together some money and were like, hey, you got us? And Aggie was like, yeah, I got you. And just, I guess his friends, were they really his friends if they thought he was going to be able to successfully fly with 40 pounds of marijuana in his luggage? All right. As Dom is going to look up for us, maybe if we can find a dollar amount for that sort of thing. One final thing that I want to do here on the Dopey Millennial Show is give out a participation trophy.
Well, at least you tried. This is a participation trophy on the Dopey Millennial Show.
All right. I'm going to go pretty quick with my participation trophies this week, giving one to Andre Johnson, as it hit me today when I saw the announcement of, you know, Andre Johnson going into the NFL Hall of Fame. He's the first Houston Texans player ever into the Hall of Fame, which makes sense. I mean, they've only been around since 2002, but it's wild when you think of, like, having a team in the NFL who's never had a player in the Hall of Fame. You get that with Andre Johnson. And then my final participation trophy, just because, yeah, put this on your mantle and you can go out and we can hopefully stop talking about you. Skip Bayless, his last day on Undisputed was Friday, which is, like, terrible. Literally, they're ending his run on Undisputed right before football season, which just shows you that they didn't think this was working and it was so bad that they were like, please get out of here before football season starts. We don't want to hear you talk about the Dallas Cowboys. So yeah, Skip's a guy that I respect for his hustle and the start of, you know, sports debate. But the way that it went and the way that he ruined it for so many of us, with everyone's got to have a hot take about everything. Yeah, just sayonara, Skip Bayless, and have a participation trophy on your way out. All right, shout out to producer Dom on the other side of the glass. Thank you for being with me for the last couple of hours. Coming up next, Atlanta United 2 versus New England. Pre-game coverage is got Madison Cruz and John Nelson, as well as Jason Longshore on the call. I'm Caleb Johnson. We'll talk soon.
Back to the latest weekend sports talk with the Dopey Millennials Show.
Dump the old ish, upgrade to the new.
From Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, and the Odyssey app. It is the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you for one final segment. Look, I teased this a little bit beforehand, but what would you be willing to do to win a gold medal or just compete at the Olympics at all? Would you be willing to cut your finger off? Let's get into it with News You Can Lose.
Taking a look at non-sports related news with News You Can Lose on the Dopey Millennial Show.
Would you be willing to cut off your finger? Because when I saw this story, I was stunned at Australian field hockey player Matt Dawson. He's a guy who, leading up to this year's Olympics, injured his finger, his, I guess this would be, I'm looking at ring finger on his right hand. So, I mean, I feel like all of your fingers are important fingers, but still, I write with my right hand. And so anything that I do with my right hand, I want all of those fingers. Well, leading up to the Olympics, Australian field hockey player Matt Dawson injured his right hand ring finger and was told, hey, we're sorry, but because of this injury, because it's not going to heal in time, you're not going to be able to compete in the Olympics for the Australian field hockey team. To which Matt Dawson said, cut it off. Matt Dawson, Australian field hockey player, cut off the top from the knuckle up off of his ring finger to be able to compete in the Olympics this year. And now, you know, the thing that just hit me that I didn't do before this, because I'm pretty sure I know the answer. I don't think that Australia is still in field hockey. Like, I don't think they made it out. So, would you cut your finger off to compete at the Olympics to then not medal?
See, that's the thing. If it's just for the chance to compete, probably not. But if it's like, I know if I do compete, I'm going to win a gold medal. Depends on which finger, but maybe.
Really?
Sure.
I am not willing to lose a finger. Like,
you can take my left pinky. I don't need this.
So you're just, like, not going to type anymore?
I mean, I got three other regular, I got three other fingers and a thumb on that hand. I can make it work.
For a gold medal.
For a gold, do you know, like, how crazy it is to say that you have an Olympic gold, just to call yourself an Olympian, but also to say, like, an Olympic gold medalist is a super crazy honor. And it's just dope as hell, in all honesty.
Crazy, crazy honor for sure. Something that I would trade a finger for? Absolutely
not. I bled
for
my country. Life and limb.
See, if that then leads to, if you can guarantee me when I come home that I'm going to have, like, a good-paying job,
I mean,
and opportunities.
You're probably going to get good endorsements, though.
Long enough to, like, sustain you in life? Because now would you then be able to apply for disability?
That's a good question.
That's a great question because actually, then that's one of those of like, okay, so you lost the finger, got to compete at the Olympics. In your case, if you're saying you'd be willing to do it in order to win a gold medal, your story is going to lead to you getting sponsorship deals and then potentially you would qualify for disability. Now I'm starting to listen a little bit more.
It's not that crazy.
I still think it's a no. especially because in this guy's case, in Matt Dawson of the Australian field hockey, as far as I can tell, and like I said, I should have looked this up just to guarantee it, but from what a quick Google search put in front of me, I do not see the Australian field hockey team still competing, and so I believe that means that they did not medal, which that would not at all... be worth it.
Yeah, that's
but
not
just
worth it.
I think it's just crazy. Just the thought of like, hey, you need to heal because the injury happened to him while playing field hockey. So the fact that you would go from, okay, this injury happened while playing, I'm not going to be able to compete at the Olympics. How sad to cut it off. Just cut my finger off. I can't imagine. The thought process, and maybe there just wasn't much of one. Maybe this was a very spur-of-the-moment thing.
Yeah.
Because I feel like later on in life, you're going to want that top half of your ring finger.
And also, like to his point, like you don't know if you'll ever, like, Olympics only happen every 4 years. You don't know what will happen, and you may not ever make it to the Olympics again.
Yeah, but you're also, like I said, you're going to want to come home and work a job that you would probably like that part of your finger. Who knows? Who's to say? All right. That for the first story and news you can lose. Look, nothing is dumb. You missed the greatest news you can lose story last week. That was around the special teams coach for the Texas Longhorns married a stripper whose name is Pole Assassin, who owns a monkey that attacked some kids at Halloween a couple years ago. It was wild, man. It was like... That was peak news you could lose story. It was incredible. I'll tell you more about it later the show. But this one up there in level of craziness, did you hear about former Bama and Texas wide receiver Aggie Hall? He was arrested, or actually, we found out what the results of his arrest were. This happened back in, I believe it was December of 2023. But we learned recently after Aggie Hall, a guy who, like I said, played for Bama, was kicked off the team after getting arrested, went to Texas, and I'm not sure what led to him leaving Texas, but something happened, and maybe it was this whole thing, was going to UCF, was going to be a Golden Knight this year. And then all of a sudden, reports came out this past week that because of legal issues, they've distanced themselves from Aggie Hall. Well, it's because in December of 2023, a canine unit found 40 pounds of marijuana in Aggie Hall's luggage as he was trying to fly from California to Florida. This man was in Cali, purchased 40 pounds of marijuana, which, like, I have to wonder how long that would last him. I have to imagine quite some time.
Yes.
Quite some time. And, you know, obviously with that amount, you don't just get arrested for, hey, little possession.
Oh, yeah. That's
this is drug trafficking.
Yeah, and probably intent to sell and all that other stuff. Yes.
All of those sorts of things. So here's from the Orlando Sentinel news article. Aggie Hall, 21, had flown into Orlando from San Francisco in July of 2023 when a K-9 unit found 40 pounds of marijuana and 31 vacuum-sealed bags in his luggage. He was arrested in December and sentenced to probation as part of a plea deal. Here's the craziest part of this all. This man was trafficking drugs. First off, the fact that it left California in the first place kind of surprised me. Well, no. I've never even thought about this, Dom. But in a state where it's legal, can you fly from, like, Los Angeles to San Francisco with it in your bag because it's
No, I don't think so.
I can't imagine. You can.
Yeah, no. So how, not that much.
How it left, like how it got through security to leave California, but then to be found in Orlando. Yeah, Hall initially pleaded not guilty, which I guess you just like do automatically. Because you're for sure guilty if they find 40 pounds of weed in your luggage. Before pleading no contest to one count of trafficking, as part of the plea agreement, he was sentenced to 18 months probation, required to pay a $774 fine. He was sentenced as a youthful offender and must attend counseling at least once every other week. And continue his education at UCF or any college that accepts him. That's going to be a very interesting part, as it doesn't seem like he has a scholarship anymore. But letting this guy off for...
I was going to say, that's very light.
18 months probation, $774 fine for flying with 40 pounds.
40 pounds of weed.
Of weed in your luggage.
That's a lot.
Like, when I saw this story, I don't mean to judge this man because I don't know him, but my first thought was, how stupid are you? Because in what world did you think
you
this was going to work?
Yeah, got to FedEx that kind of stuff, man.
Sure. I don't know how that works. I don't know of anyone who's ever... maybe taking a bottle of vitamins and put other things in them when they were flying from Denver to Atlanta. I have no idea about anything like that. That's just one of those trying not to incriminate anyone I know
smarter. Just got to be smarter.
Yeah.
We'll leave it there.
Of those, like, when I saw this storyline, I was like, this definitely is going in news you can lose, just because how did you really think that you were going to get away with this? This really speaks to your mental faculties and, like, is everything going on up there? That, you know, because in the article, it pointed out the fact that, like, this is someone who has talked about dealing with an immense amount of stress. And so, you know, this is an outlet for him. And I understand for the people who participate in these sorts of things, I understand the reasons in which they participate. But there's also just, like, common sense of laws. And, like, hey, if you're flying from a state where it's legal to a state where it's not legal, maybe drive it if you're going to do it and not fly. And if you're going to fly, maybe, like, not an incriminating amount like that would get you caught for drug trafficking. Like, there's so many different levels to this where I'm.
How stressful is your life?
Right? Where you need 40 pounds? Nah, it ain't 40 pounds stressful. Trust me.
As a college kid who's played football and stuff, you have a scholarship to play football. Like, your life is pretty kosher, man.
Yeah.
You're having a good time.
NIL exists. It ain't like you got to be out here,
right,
you know, selling dime bags. Like, it's just, like, it ain't Because there's no way this man had 40 pounds and was planning
just
to...
For himself.
Just for himself. Just, ain't no way. I would also... supply. I would like to know how much money that cost. Like, I have to imagine in California, 40 pounds of marijuana can't be cheap. There is no way. So, like, someone... There's definitely a group of people who pulled together some money and were like, hey, you got us? And Aggie was like, yeah, I got you. And just, I guess his friends, were they really his friends if they thought he was going to be able to successfully fly with 40 pounds of marijuana in his luggage? All right, as Dom is going to look up for us, maybe if we can find a dollar amount for that sort of thing. One final thing that I want to do here on the Dopey Millennial Show is give out a participation trophy.
Well, at least you tried. This is a participation trophy on the Dopey Millennial Show.
All right, I'm going to go pretty quick with my participation trophies this week. Giving one to Andre Johnson, as it hit me today when I saw the announcement of, you know, Andre Johnson going into the NFL Hall of Fame. He's the first Houston Texans player ever into the Hall of Fame, which makes sense. I mean, they've only been around since 2002, but it's wild when you think of, like, having a team in the NFL who's never had a player in the Hall of Fame. You get that with Andre Johnson. And then my final participation trophy, just because, yeah, put this on your mantle, and you can go out and we can hopefully stop talking about you. Skip Bayless, his last day on Undisputed was Friday, which is, like, terrible. Literally, they're ending his run on Undisputed right before football season, which just shows you that they didn't think this was working and it was so bad that they were like, please get out of here before football season starts. We don't want to hear you talk about the Dallas Cowboys. So yeah, Skip's a guy that I respect for his hustle and the start of, you know, sports debate. But the way that it went and the way that he ruined it for so many of us, with everyone's got to have a hot take about everything. Yeah, just sayonara, Skip Bayless, and have a participation trophy on your way out. All right, shout out to producer Dom on the other side of the glass. Thank you for being with me for the last couple of hours. Coming up next, Atlanta United 2 versus New England. Pre-game coverage is got Madison Cruz and John Nelson, as well as Jason Longshore on the call. I'm Caleb Johnson. We'll talk soon.